Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Y'all read your Bibles? Y'all know about Job? Okay, all right. Because if you don't, it's going to be longer. If I get over there in Job, I get stuck. So you want to go? Y'all know about Job? Oh, all right, okay. Yeah, you're lying? You're lying? Some of you don't even know who Job is, but yeah, okay. If it gets me out of here, yeah. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. Something's going to ring true when I read this verse, and you're going to think about Job. Think about Job. What's Satan's present situation? Well, he orchestrates what goes on in this world. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the reason that no matter what you want to do, and I'm not against any of this, but how many Christians you want to put in office, how many folks listening to me, there's somebody orchestrating this whole thing. And it's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now you ought to underline this next thing, because this gives you some more information about your enemy. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. What a statement, what a title. Which accused them before our God. What's the next three words? He just doesn't quit. He just doesn't let off, does he? Now, you're thinking about Job. Satan shows up one day and shows up with the sons of God in the presence of God. And God asks him the question, where you been, Satan? I've been walking to and fro in the earth. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? You know what? I think Satan stood there and he had a whole list of Christians he wanted to talk to God about. And Job was at the very bottom. Job was the one that he didn't want to start with. No, wouldn't you bring up Job? Listen, whoever's at the top of Satan's list is on the bottoms of God's. And whoever's at the bottom of Satan's list is on top of God's. All right? Amen? So he said, that's not who I wanted to talk about. And even the most righteous man on earth, and God begins to brag about him, Satan starts hurling accusations against Job. Well, he's only that way because of this. He's only that way because of that. If you'd let me do this, you'd let me do that. You know what? The best Christian in the world, Satan can find something negative to say about him. He's known as the accuser. Say, what is he doing right now? Well, he's orchestrating this whole thing that's going on earth. What else is he doing? Oh, makes his presentation, makes his appearances before the throne of God from time to time, and he accuses the brethren. Yeah. He's, can I share something with you? And I hope you have this heart. I hope you share this heart with me. You know, there's something when I read that makes me say, you know what? I don't want to give the devil any ammunition, anything to hurl in front of God about me. Now, I know that I do. And I know that we all fall short, but I don't want him to go up to stand before God and say, you know, have you considered Jerry Ross? What about him? He don't care about souls. I don't want him to be able to say that. Have you ever considered Jerry Ross? He don't read his Bible. I don't want to give Satan that opportunity to make it where he can say that to God. Have you considered Jerry Ross? He doesn't even pray. He's supposed to be a preacher and he doesn't even pray, God. What about that, God? I don't want to give Satan those kind of darts to throw at God. I don't want to give Satan a chance to spit in the eye of God because of something I've done. I don't want to give Satan a chance to accuse me before God. And I know, folks, we're all going to fall short, and there's times that Satan has been able to do it and do it honestly. But you know what? We shouldn't hand him a basket full a day. I'd like to be somebody, and it's not always true, it's not, but I'd like to be somebody that God could point to. Satan, you want to talk about all these other people. What about Jerry Ross? What about put your name right there? I mean, wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't it be better? I don't want to give Satan. Listen, folks, you ought to underline that thing. You got that? For the accuser of the brethren. Let me share something else with you. That accusing the brethren stuff, that's a device of Satan. Are you listening to me? That's a device of Satan. To sit around and accuse the brother. He does it day and night. Every time I'm tempted to sit around and talk about or accuse or point a finger at the brother, I think, you know what, where's this coming from? Are you listening to me? Well, not everybody. No, neither do we always do what's right either. You know what? I think we're a little crazy. I think if we could take half the energy sometimes as Christians and as fundamentalists as a whole, Brother Joe, you travel, so if we could take half the energy that we spend shooting missiles at each other and turn those same missiles towards Satan and his kingdom, we'd probably be winning this thing right now. You know, if you got an hour to sit and drink coffee and gossip about somebody else, why not take that hour and just go soul winning?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just a thought. Say, well, that's not as much fun.
Yeah.
No, it's not to the flesh. Well, I'll tell you what, it'll change you. Someone that says to you, boy, I'd like to take a little time and I'd like to come over and talk to you about so-and-so. Say, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's meet and go soul winning together and we can talk about while we're soul winning.
Absolutely.
You may get so busy burdened about souls and winning souls, you might forget to bring the whole thing up. Are you getting that? Did you underline that? Is that in your Bible too? Is that what that says? Now double check that. I'm reading that right, aren't I? For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God. I'm not going to spend my time doing that then. That's a device of Satan. That gives him an advantage over me when I start joining him in that garbage. So, well, what do you think about this preacher? I think I'm going to pray for him. I think I'm going to pray that God uses him. I think I'm going to just focus on my business and do what I'm supposed to do and go soul winning, brother. Amen. I think I'm just going to go see if there's one of these bus kids' parents that we can get down the aisle in the baptistry here. I just think there's a lot better stuff to do. Okay, what's your opinion? What's my opinion? Who cares what my opinion? Who am I? The Holy Spirit? What do I know? There's one guy I know a lot about, Jerry Ross. I know he's got a bunch of trouble. I know I've got more on my plate to fix him. I think if I got to focus on somebody that needs fixing, he's probably a good one to start with. And when I get him perfect, then I can go around and start working on other people. Are you listening to me? See, folks, I just think that we've got caught up doing the same things as Satan's doing. I'm sorry, but I think Satan's sitting around the same table, busting himself on the knee like this and hee-hawing every time he gets a bunch of Christians sitting around a table running down other Christians.
Amen.
Anytime he gets to one of these preacher fellowships, heaven forbid.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I haven't seen any of those in our bulletin, Pastor. What are we doing around here? Why are we having these things? Why don't me and you run to these things?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why, because a lot of them just turn into gossip sessions.
That's all they are.
Bunch of, you know, if they take the same time, go soul winning.
Amen.
Soul winning. I like that word. Amen. Let's just go win somebody to Christ. Two, three preachers. What do you think about so-and-so? What do you think about this situation? I said, why don't you three talk about it? I'll go soul winning. When I come back, you tell me what conclusions you've drawn. And then I'll just forget to come back. Amen. All right. Let me give you some other things about Satan, okay? Let me have you go to Luke chapter 4, verse number 13. Luke chapter 4, and we're just going to go a few more minutes. I want you to just learn a few things about Satan. Folks, there's some things that I think we ought to be aware of, that we ought to know. Luke chapter 4, verse number 13. This is the last verse, the conclusionary statement after the portion of Scripture that describes the temptation of Jesus Christ. Satan has been going one-on-one with the Son of God. Guess what? He lost. Every time Satan goes one-on-one with God, he loses. Amen? That's why I want to stay on God's side. I didn't say I wanted to get God on my side. I want to get on his side. Because he always wins. But notice this, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Sometimes I think we give attributes, Satan credit for attributes that he doesn't really have. We give him credit for God attributes that only God has. Satan is not omnipresent. You understand that? You know, Satan is at one point. The Bible talks about, in Revelation, talks about the seat of Satan, his headquarters. And when we see times in the Bible where Satan presents himself here, or he goes here, or he leaves here, God's omnipresent. We say, where's God? He's everywhere. He's everywhere at all times. You know what? Satan's only at one place at a time. And Satan came for a while and tempted Christ, then left for a while. He's not omnipresent. So remember that. I'm willing to warn myself about him, and I want to give Satan his due as far as how dangerous he is. But sometimes we go too far and we start talking to him like he's God. He's not God. I'll tell you something else I believe. And we won't take the time. This is a bunch of verses we look up. But almost any time Satan engages a human being in conversation or engages even the Son of God in conversation, he asks questions. You know why he does that? Because he's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent and he's not omniscient. You know what? Satan can't read your mind. Okay, God can. And so Satan watches us. He's diligent to watch us. By the way, can I share something with you? Be careful what you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now think about this. I think that there's even some things that we probably shouldn't discuss. You know, if you blurt out what your biggest weakness is, Satan's there to take notes.
Yeah.
Hey, can I just give you something? Maybe you think, Brother Jerry, you're going overboard with this, but I'm going to just tell you the truth. I never confess my sins to God out loud. Okay, he can't read my heart. Why should I give him a list of my weak areas? Okay? And so, you know, don't give Satan too much, girl. He knows everything. He's everywhere. No, he's not. That's why he has to have this army of demons. Okay, and that's interesting in itself, folks. You know, if every Christian in the world was doing what they should do, and every church in the world was doing what they ought to do, we could keep Satan so spread out and so busy. But you know, the honest truth is, I think Satan only has to watch a few hot spots here and there. He takes about the weakest, dumbest, most ignorant demon he has and sends them to some church, and they sleep during most of the services because there's nothing going on anyway. There's nothing ever to report back. I've always thought this thought. I just hope all the time that there's panic, urgent messages being sent back to headquarters about what Blessed Hope Baptist is doing next. Oh no, another report. You're not going to believe what they're doing. You're not going to believe what Pastor Ross thought of. I think every time we start a new ministry, Satan just sends him in a whirlwind. I mean, let's just listen, folks. Every day of our life, let's just get up and try to give the devil a black eye and keep him busy. I mean, let's just do everything we can to keep him spread thin. He can't be everywhere and he doesn't know everything. So don't give him too much credit. But let me show you this and we'll kind of close with this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8. You say he's not omnipresent, he's not omniscient, he is the prince and power, the orchestrator of this world system. He spends a good deal of his time accusing the brethren. What else does he do? What's his main goal? Brother Jerry, if you could go to one verse and say this is the main activity, the main goal of Satan. 1 Peter chapter number 5, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter number 5, I think I said chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And verse number 8, what is the main activity of Satan? What does he spend most of his time doing? And we read this, be sober, admonition to the Christians, admonition to the church, be sober. And I talked about young men being sober-minded. Well, why is that important? I just like being a goofball. I don't want to be serious. I want to just walk around acting like this whole life's one big joke after another. There's a reason that you need a sober mind. There's a reason you need a disciplined mind. Be vigilant. I've got a list of verses here we could chase down. You know how many times the Bible says not just to pray, but to watch and pray? You better be watching. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, we talked about the enemy, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan's main goal is the destruction of mankind. Satan's main goal, one of his main goals, and by the way, you might just narrow that in a little bit more, because this is written to the church, this is written to the Christian. Satan, one of his main goals is to cause a decent, godly Christian man or woman to take a public fall that would cause shame to the reproach to the name of Christ. You understand that? You understand that right here in this room, anybody and everybody sitting here talking, sitting here in this room, is talking about you. Do you understand you are in the devil's crosshairs?
Sure.
Do you understand? You better get serious about some things, young man. You better get some serious about some things, young lady. You go flippantly skipping, laughing things off, making a mock of sin, acting like this thing's a big joke. And let me tell you something. If you're not sober and you're not vigilant, your adversary, your enemy, as a roaring lion, will devour you.
Absolutely.
You know why it's hard to win the lost? I can tell you because I spend time out there knocking doors. I talk to lost people constantly. You know why it's hard to win the lost? You know the first thing they want to talk about? Some preacher that's gone bad. Some Christian family member that talked the talk for several years and then just turned her all the way opposite and went to the devil. Some TV evangelist. Somebody that lived down the road from them that was a deacon in some church. But you finished the story. And by the way, folks, don't sit there like it can't happen to you. I mean, we got to realize, buddy, I've watched some of the Christians that I've admired the most take some of the most horrible falls, and I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it makes me get on my knees and say, "Oh God,
yes.
If devil got them, he could get me. I'm not as good a Christian as they are. God, help me, Lord, please." That's why. Remember when we were teaching this past Sunday morning? We'll close. See, I'm closing. We're closing. I closed the book, but I'm not going to close this for a minute or two more. All right. But you remember why I was talking on Sunday school? Some of you weren't in here. Sunday school, I spent so much time talking about the Lord's Prayer. Seven things that Jesus asked us to pray about. You know what? You know what number six is? Lead us not into temptation, but... Now, listen to me. You better understand something. Listen to me. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. This thing of pride is what gets you in trouble. Oh, I can handle it. No, you can't.
Right.
Devil slap you around, slap you silly, and laugh at you while he's doing it. The Bible talks about, tells Timothy, Paul writes Timothy and talks about those that are taken captive at Satan's whim. At Satan's will, he takes them captive. He plays with them like a cat plays with a mouse that's been captured, and he lets them get away a little bit and then just slaps them silly again. And there's Christians spend their whole life like that.
Yeah.
You better watch this thing. There's a reason we're to pray this prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. All right, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts even as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen to me, those two things right there you better pray about. Did you hear what that said? And lead us not into temptation. The Bible, Jesus didn't say, when you face temptation, pray. It says, pray that you don't face temptation. Are you listening to me? Are you young people listening to me? Well, I can go here and I can resist. I can go with this crowd and I won't join them. I can go here and I won't look. The Bible says, pray that you don't go there. Because you know what you're going to find out real quick? You're not near as strong as you think you are. Smartest thing in the world you can do is make wide circles around temptation.
Absolutely.
Right, Lord, lead us not to temptation. Lord, I'm not asking you to give me the strength to yield not to temptation or to overcome temptation. I'm asking you, Lord, to give me the wisdom. Some of this is learning Satan, learning his devices. Be able to. Bible says a prudent man foreseeth the evil and passeth by. We don't have much prudence. We don't have enough godly, scriptural, biblical sense to look and say, you know what? You know what? I see that thing he's setting up down the road there. I see the trap he's laying. I've been watching for that dude all day. I know his devices. I know how he works. And look at that. If I continue going that way, I'm going to be faced with the temptation. I'll tell you what. I think I'm going to go this way.
Amen.
Lead us not into temptation, but watch this. Deliver us from evil. Moms and dads, listen to me. Listen to me. We need to pray that. Pray that over our family. Pray that for ourselves. I mentioned a few minutes ago, and some of you have seen some of this. If you don't think that this world, that there isn't, that if you laugh at the thought that there is evil in this world, you just don't know a whole lot, and you haven't lived very long. There is evil out there, and there's a difference between sin and evil. The word sin literally means missing the mark. It's an attempt to do right, but you fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Failure in an attempt to do what's right. But listen to me. Evil is premeditated. Premeditated wickedness. And there are people that are sick, that are demonically controlled. There are people out there that every morning get up and they look and they predetermine, how can I hurt this person? How can I defile this person? How can I make this young person fall? How can I tempt this person? How can I slowly lure this person to a sense of being comfortable around me and accepting me so that I can strip them of their purity? Young people, listen to me. It's out there. And it's not way out there. It's here in this county. It's where you walk and where you hang out and where you live. And you know what? There's only one person that can deliver us from evil, and that's God.
Amen.
You know, folks, there's evil out there that I think the only thing's keeping it from crushing upon our families and our children, our grandchildren, is our prayers and God Almighty standing there saying, I'm going to protect these young people. Amen. Satan would like to devour and destroy every innocent, pure young person in this room right here. He'd like to defile them. He'd like to steal their innocence. He'd like to make them a mockery and a laughingstock amongst the world. Someone for the world to point at and say, yeah, right, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about him. And what you better do, folks, is you better listen to mom and dad. Okay? Better listen to them. Better not sneer at the rules. You better understand there's a lot of people spend a lot of years building strong fences to keep that man-eating lion from sneaking in here. Don't go over there and start trying to knock holes in the wall. Are you listening to me? Okay, better listen to Grandma. She knows some things. Listen to Grandpa. He knows some things. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have an enemy. Lord, he's more powerful than we are. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus, if it was not for you and your grace, your mercy, was it for the mighty, strong arm of Jehovah God and his protection, the prince and power of the air, I'm afraid to say what he would do to devastate the church and devastate Christians and devastate our young people. And Lord, you're willing to help us and you're willing to guard us and you're willing to protect us. What a foolish thing for us to wander outside the circle of your protection. And Lord, this old pride things, that's our problem. I can handle it. It's not that big a deal. This didn't really hurt you. This isn't that big a deal. That old pride thing. And all it is the lust of the flesh. We just want something that we shouldn't want. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help us not to be ignorant of his devices. Help us to have learned a little bit about our enemy so that he does not gain an advantage over us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to say a word or two and then we'll have the invitation. Young people, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Christians everywhere, listen to me. You better stay in the Bible. You better stay in this book. You're not fighting some guy in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and a long tail that walks around stumbling all over himself like the world likes to think some idiot. You're not dealing with it. You're dealing with a roaring lion. And boy, he's taken down some of the greatest soldiers that the army of Christ has ever had. Boy, you ought to stay on your knees. Say, God, I need your help. That stinking lion will get me too. Lord, if you don't help me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil.